Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Royal Watcher podcast. My name is Saad Salman. I'm the founder and editor of the Royal Watcher, a royal commentator, and a royal contributor for alt.com.
My name is Sam Gillespie. I am the editor of the Beaumont. I have a background in fine jewellery and a long-held fascination with history and royalty.
Hi, my name is Ali. I run the Royalty Nerd account on various platforms, and I'm a longtime Royal Watcher.
We're so glad to have you on today to discuss this week's diplomatic reception at Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I'm a big fan of the TikTok account, Ali.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we kind of see you everywhere, so I'm so glad that you're able to join us today.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it started as an accident. I didn't mean to grow a following. It's kind of weird to say because I really thought it was just going to be my two friends watching me, and then it kind of blew up by accident. So here I am.
Yeah, fantastic. Lovely to have you in our circles.
No, yeah, it's such a pleasure to have you on. And I think the way that I've seen kind of your account popping off over the last couple of years and how you've become such kind of a voice in the Royal Watching community, especially kind of the way you cover fashion and provide such an interesting take on everything.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So let's kind of start with discussing kind of the background of the diplomatic reception. So it's really the most high profile event held at Buckingham Palace every year. Usually kind of in the past, we've mainly gotten just photos of the royals arriving and leaving. So, and kind of an interesting thing for all of our listeners and those watching on YouTube is that the date of the reception is never announced in advance. It's kind of always a surprise. We kind of know it's going to happen in early December at some point, but then because of security reasons, they never release a date. So it's just a nice surprise one evening when you're kind of not expecting it to see, oh, there's tiaras tonight.
Yeah, I was actually napping and I got a phone call, woke me up, and then I looked at my phone and I was like, oh, the diplomatic reception is happening right now.
You know, I'm terrible. I rely on Twitter more than I do the mainstream media. And there was rumors going around this week that, oh, it's going to be on Tuesday. And it's like, you can't confirm it. So yeah, like you, Ali, I was just like, oh, it's tonight. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had kind of an article pre-written with kind of just spaces for jewels and stuff. But I was like, oh, it's not going to happen until Wednesday or Thursday because King Charles had like events all morning on the 6th. So I was like, no, he'll be too tired to host this big event. And then it was kind of a bit of a surprise for me. I was like, oh, actually, it's tonight. So even though I was prepared, I was still taken aback by it.
It's a nice surprise.
Yeah. I remember kind of my first year was the diplomatic reception in 2016. And I was still in school back then. And I had like a big presentation. And right as I finished the presentation and I hadn't looked at my phone all morning and I looked at it and it was the year that they released the group picture of all six of them. I think it was the last time Prince Philip attended. So that was like the big highlight, which I still have like a distinct memory of seeing that happening. And I was like, wow, that's so amazing. That was the first time ever.
Yeah. And obviously this is the first time that they've been able to host a diplomatic reception since COVID hit and all the restrictions have, you know, mercifully been lifted now. So I think this was definitely a highlight for a lot of us who, you know, love our tiara events.
Yeah, because they did announce that they were going to have kind of a diplomatic reception back in March at Windsor Castle, which was, some were saying it was a cocktail party attire, so it wouldn't have been the same. Mm. But even that was canceled because of the outbreak of war in Ukraine. So we can't really know for sure what that would have turned out to. But yeah, this was kind of interesting event that from all the kind of photographers, there's only one pool photographer allowed into this reception because it is a notoriously private thing. And there's the division of the events is really interesting because the royal family kind of come in through the middle. There's around 2,000 guests. One half of them eat before the royals come and the other half eat afterwards. There's apparently also dancing in the schedule, but again, we have no pictures of that ever. So it's quite an interesting event. And the royals just pass in that middle time between the two meals, meet all their diplomats, and then they leave. So there's no kind of sit down banquet or anything at all. Just dress up, meet them, and leave.
Oh, I didn't know that. How interesting. Yeah.
I didn't know they ate at different times. I did see an older schedule where they leave before 10 p.m. And I thought that was wonderful because that's my kind of night. home by 10.
I know. Yeah. One of the interesting things about all these kind of banquet events is that they usually start like around 7-ish when they're dressed. And by 9:30, kind of the event's over, they're all kind of going home. Unless it's like one of those Swedish weddings, which like start at like noon and go into like the next morning.
And that's fine too. I love that too.
Yeah. Like the Nobel Prizes next week, the Swedish rolls will arrive around 3 p.m. And sometimes they've left like at 3 or 4 a.m. And Tiara all night through all those events.
Who knew all those physicists and world peace leaders were up for being up until 4 in the morning?
I know. So kind of we're going to go through what the four royals wore, which kind of one thing to add before we kind of move on fully is that, interestingly enough, like for a banquet, they have like majority of the royal family show up. We had only working royals at the South African state banquet, but in the past, it used to be a lot more. The Kents and all the rest of them used to come at the state banquets. But for the diplomatic reception, it's always a very kind of limited royal family. Even though with 2,000 guests, that's the biggest event they always host. So I find that like a very kind of interesting kind of concept, whereas they don't really invite more than 4 or 5 people. Like, and they still have to do a lot more work on each person's part.
Yeah, 4 people versus 2,000 diplomats. My God, no wonder they go home early.
Yeah. So King Charles was wearing white tie with, and this is kind of a dress code that's in the past been only reserved for the diplomatic reception, is knee breeches, which are kind of one of those remnants from the 18th century. And special and kind of touch is that he wears the original garter of the Order of the Garter on his knee.
Well, we do know that. Yeah, Prince Charles, he's an aesthete. You know, he always has been interested in art and cut, you know, jewels and things like that. So I honestly wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the old traditions do start coming back to his court. And I think the garter, yeah, he would definitely be up for keeping that tradition. I mean, it's the oldest chivalric order in Europe or ever, or
I think in the UK, I believe there's a couple in Europe which are older.
But yeah, as I say, he's a great lover of tradition. So I can imagine a lot of things are going to be coming back now.
I was
Go ahead.
Oh, I was a bit surprised because William didn't wear it. And I know he's worn it in the past.
Yeah. But people have said that he looked really uncomfortable in it. So that was like one of the things. They made it seem a bit more optional this kind of time around, because the queen used to wear the garter around her arm. And Queen Camilla has the garter now, but she didn't wear one around her arm either. So they're kind of doing it in different ways, not necessarily as it did in the past.
Mm. And that kind of just makes me think of how Charles has always talked about slimming down the monarchy or modernizing the monarchy. I think it's important, though, to keep traditions like that, like wearing the garter for, you know, it's one night.
Yeah, it's one night. It's, even if it's uncomfortable, it looks nice. It's kind of part of the ceremonial royal garb. And we can also see kind of King Charles just adding kind of, you don't really expect royal men to be wearing a lot of jewels, or dress we're talking about their jewels, but King Charles is wearing 2 diamond stars, one of the Order of the Garter and the other the Order of the Bath. And also his George of the Order of the Garter is also made of diamonds. So quite a lot of glitter on for one person.
Yeah, and what did we say? We think he's clearly a fan of the jeweled buttons, and those look like rubies or maybe topaz.
Yeah, I think we agreed they were rubies, but we haven't really seen clear enough pictures to confirm yet.
Oh, man after my own heart. I mean, come on, if you had ruby buttons, would you not just break them out? Like, whatever the occasion.
Definitely for a king, he's giving everything, like all the diamonds, the jewels, it looks amazing.
Mm.
And then moving on to Queen Camilla, who is wearing for the second time in, I think, 2 weeks, the Belgian sapphire tiara and the King George VI sapphire necklace.
Yeah, I think this is going to be, I don't recall Camilla being a particular fan of sapphires in the past. I could be wrong. But it looks like this suite is now going to be sort of part of her regular attire, which is fantastic. It actually, I would say it suits her more than it did the late queen. I don't know why. Maybe it's the hair. But yeah, I mean, if this is going to be, you know, a regular occurrence, it's fantastic.
It's not a tiara I initially thought of for Camilla.
Yeah.
I actually had it in mind for Kate because I thought the sapphires might look good with her dark hair. But now seeing it on Camilla, this is definitely a Camilla tiara.
I agree.
Well, I agree. Yeah, like you, I wasn't a fan of the sapphires on the queen. But I mean, now that they're worn by Camilla, who has pretty big hair and she can rock big tiaras quite well, the piece looks quite massive itself. Like if you look at the central sapphire, that's pretty big. And the way she wears it, it's quite regal, and I like it worn this way, which I didn't initially expect.
I must say, I do wonder whether it's been opened up slightly, because it always looked like it was slightly too closed on the late Queen Elizabeth. Like this is more of a tiara, and the Queen maybe wore it as more of like a diadem. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I saw someone on Twitter actually mention that, just wondering if the base had been widened a bit, because it does look a bit more open.
Yeah.
Said. There we go. Actually, if you do look a bit, and for those who are watching it on YouTube, can also see in the picture that it looks like the velvet base has been kind of changed to blonde to match Camilla's hair, where for the queen it was more white.
Yeah.
So it does seem that there has been kind of some changes made to it already.
Yeah.
And then we also saw a newer version of the necklace.
Yes. So for those who don't know, this is the George VI sapphire necklace that was given to Queen Elizabeth II as a wedding present from her father, King George VI, obviously. And it actually comes in a variety of configurations. So the first time Queen Camilla wore this piece, she actually wore the shortened version of the necklace. Without the central hanging sapphire element. However, tonight, in these pictures at least, we can see that she has gone for the full version of said necklace. And again, both versions suit her. So yeah, it's great to see it back.
I feel like Camilla is a pretty big necklace person. She rocks the interesting and big necklaces quite often.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, although, if you think about all her Saudi gems, those are.
Oh, God, massive. Yeah. They are. Yeah. Although, a note, as you know, as I discovered in the last episode, she does not have her ears pierced. So we don't have the accompanying earrings that go with this particular suite. So that's, you know, that may be something that needs to be converted for the future.
But I don't have my ears pierced either.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, me and Camilla have that in common. But you can get those hooks, right? The hooks that go
over the
ear. Yeah.
You can, or you can convert them, as I said in the last episode, into some really, really tight clip-ons, but you might lose your earlobe.
Yeah.
And what did you think about Camilla's gown?
I thought she looked lovely. I thought it was great. Can't remember if this is new or not.
It was a repeat, I believe, from 2009, made by Anna Valentine. And the sleeves used to be a lot bigger in the past. Like they were, like, if you remember Princess Anne's kind of wedding dress, those sorts of sleeves.
Oh, okay.
But now they've been kind of modified a bit. But I like this appearance with the gown and the tiara and everything a lot more than I did the state banquet appearance. I felt it looked more natural and she looked a lot more comfortable in the jewels, whereas the necklace that time and the high neckline, that looked like it was kind of suffocating her in a bit.
No, I agree. I think, and I just, the colors all work together, the darker dress with the, I mean, they're not super dark sapphires, but the darker jewels, I think it all came together really well for her.
Oh, yeah, it looks lovely. And then an additional kind of thing that was pointed out a few weeks ago as well was that she's wearing Queen Victoria's garter star. So that's why it's so tiny. But also at the same time, we don't really know much about it because Queen Victoria had two stars. She started wearing Albert's star after he died. So we don't know which one it is, but it's kind of an interesting link to an older heirloom jewel.
Yeah, especially, I wonder if they contain stones from the Hanoverian inheritance. That would be interesting to find out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm.
And then moving on to, you were saying, Ali, before about the Prince of Wales, he did not wear the breeches and he wore a plain white tie.
I mean, he still looked good. And yeah. I'm a big proponent of being comfortable in what you wear. And, you know, if he's more comfortable without the garter, then that's fine. But I mean, I would have appreciated to see it because I think all of us are history fans.
I like those kind of quirky remnants of history showing up in the modern day. And at the same time, something I posted about this on Twitter yesterday, and someone else said that he also doesn't wear kilts. So maybe one of those things like he's just not going to do in his kind of life or his reign, which is kind of an end to a longstanding royal tradition.
So he's going to spoil all our fun.
Yes. It does seem that way.
Oh, William.
Because royal men dressing is quite boring already, and then making it even
Oh, God. Well, you know, maybe he's being practical and being more modern, but yeah, he's going to spoil our fun.
Yeah. And then we also got kind of the highlight of the evening for most people was the Princess of Wales wearing the lotus flower tiara again for the first time after, I think, 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's only ever been pictured in it once before, and that was for the Chinese state banquet. And the lotus being a very potent symbol in China, you know, people believe that she brought that particular tiara out to, you know, make a, you know, a gesture towards the Chinese delegation. But yeah, I'm very surprised that that she has this tiara in her possession. I thought it was part of the royal collection. I know that it was a former wedding present from the Queen Mother that was restructured after its initial setting into this modern for the time. It was an Art Deco piece. It was lent to, I thought Princess Margaret owned the tiara because she wore it quite frequently, but it would appear that it was actually a loan because after Princess Margaret's death, this wasn't a piece that went up for auction. And then it was next seen on Kate. So it's clearly one of those jewels that doesn't leave the royal collection. So, yeah, it's a very interesting piece that now seems to be part of Kate's collection. So I wonder if going forward we will see it more often than we've seen it in the past.
Yeah, it was actually first worn for the diplomatic reception in 2013 by Kate, which was her first diplomatic reception.
Oh, yeah. She was in the silver dress, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yes.
And sorry, Ali, were you happy to kind of see the tiara again, or you want to see something else?
I was so happy. The thing, like, I think all of us really want new to them tiaras. And I mean, I do too, right? Like, I want to see them go digging in the vault. But if we're going to have a tiara event, especially because we just had one with the South African state visit and Kate wore the Queen Mary's lover's knot, I'm really tired of that one. So I was so happy to see the lotus flower. I think it's a really beautiful tiara. I think it really suits her. And I was happy to see something different that we hadn't seen it before.
I must say, personal preference, I prefer it on her in this hairstyle. I wasn't a fan of her in it when she wore her bun hairstyle. I think it looks a lot better with her hair down, but that's just my personal preference.
I think this is the first time she's worn her hair down with a tiara.
I think the 2013 banquet when she first wore it was also the first time. We never really got good pictures of that.
Yeah.
But this is kind of the first time we're seeing it in that sense. Kind of unpopular opinion because everyone says they've liked it, but I was not really a fan of the whole slick back hair style, like with the hair down. I kind of prefer a bun because I think it adds more structure, where this way it just kind of looked a bit like it was going to fall off at some places. And it reminded me of Crown Princess Mary's wedding look from 2004, which is not a favorite of mine.
Yeah, I think in the document, speaking of Crown Princess Mary, when there's a documentary, I can't say it in Danish, just Google Danish crown jewelry documentary, but she does mention that the tiara, the reason she wore it the way she did was because of the way the tiara sat on her head. That's why she had to wear her hair in a certain way in order to keep it on her head and keep it upright. So I wonder if the lotus tiara is similar to the Danish ruby tiara in that it can be difficult to wear and there's only certain hairstyles that can accommodate it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does seem to be leaning back a little bit in these pictures. Like she's wearing it more headband style.
Yeah. And I can't really see like a fabric underwire either. I mean, can you see the...
I think it might be a dark kind of base or something.
Yeah.
That's attached to the back, but it's not like a direct base underneath the tiara.
Yeah.
It's got an interesting kind of composition. And at the same time, like we saw the tiara on Margaret and it looked like a smaller option she wore because her Poltimore tiara was so massive. But looking at it on Kate, like now more than in the past, I'm surprised like how large the tiara is in size. Like if you look at the height of it, it's pretty big and it's quite a substantial piece in that sense. And the diamonds are of a pretty good quality as well.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember when we did our crown review? We were just like, they've made the Lotus tiara massive. Why have they done that? Well, it turns out it is massive.
She also wore, is that the brooch that we all think is new and potentially a birthday present from the Remembrance Sunday?
The Bentley and Skinner brooch, mm-hmm. which you don't know this, Ali, but me and Sam, we might
be going to say it.
And just a bit of preview, but we went to Bentley and Skinner. We had all I'll say is we had an unpleasant experience. So every time I see this brooch now, I'm kind of reminded of that. So it's lovely, good for her, but
there are other retailers, Kate.
Oh, that's not good.
You could have chosen the one that were nicer to us.
Yeah.
No,
I and better she's not bump into anyone from Bentley and Skinner in the next couple of weeks. Sad, I swear to God.
Yeah. And let's hope they don't listen to our podcast.
Yeah, fingers
crossed. Kate also wore the Queen's antique diamond earrings, which the Queen kind of started wearing in the 2000s, and Kate wore them, I believe, around 2015 first, and then she wore them quite regularly for a few years. This is the first time we've seen them kind of post-pandemic.
And do we know their origins, or do you think they might have been a purchase as well?
It's actually, we don't know the origins, but it's like one of those things where it might have been kind of an antique jewel that they just bought at auction, or it might have been something lurking in the walls from Queen Mary's day, because the Queen kind of repurposed a lot of earrings from Queen Mary.
Yeah.
During her life, especially in the early 2000s, and that's kind of the round of the time that these appeared. So it could be from that time as well.
Interesting.
And then what did you guys think about her gown?
It's Jenny Packham, and Kate and Jenny Packham go together like peanut butter and jelly. I thought it was lovely.
Yeah, it was quite an interesting choice and a bit different from what she usually wears, like especially the color and the pattern. But then Jenny Packham is, I think, her go-to, all except I think one or two, like all of her state banquet gowns or tiara appearance gowns have been Jenny Packham.
Yeah. Yeah, the beading was really nice, the sequins, and I thought it was a nice fit and silhouette on her. But like I said, I mean, her and Jenny Packham, it's pretty much a given. If you see her wearing a gown, it's probably Jenny Packham.
Oh yeah. And I think that really suits Kate's style. And then also it had a bit of a kind of different touch with the slightly puffed sleeves, which I thought were kind of more interesting than what we've seen in the past. I initially, like when I saw the first pictures, I was like, could she be wearing one of Diana's dresses from the 80s? Because like, it was one of those things where I was like, I swear I've seen Diana wear dresses, and then we got the full picture. No, it's not that.
Mm, not my area of expertise, but yes, it looks very nice.
Heard the end of it if it was one of Diana's dresses.
Oh yeah. That would have been something else. We did get a Diana kind of nod back in Boston at the start of the week, when Kate wore Princess Diana's iconic kind of emerald headband choker, which originated from Queen Mary.
Yes, and I must say, I don't know what it is, maybe it's my eyesight, but I feel like the emeralds look bigger on Kate than they ever did on Diana. Maybe that's just me. But this particular piece, it's part of what is known as the Delhi Durbar / Cambridge Emerald Suite. It was originally given to Queen Mary on the
For the Delhi Durbar.
Called the Delhi Durbar. For those who don't know, it was a ceremony to invest King George V and Queen Mary as Empress and Emperor of India. It was held in Delhi, and they were obviously given a lot of presents by the Maharajas. And one of the things they were given was this particular emerald necklace. This is actually was redesigned by Queen Mary into an Art Deco and emerald and diamond choker. She wore it. It then sort of went into the vaults, and then it was next seen on Princess Diana, who iconically wore it as a headband. Was it in Australia she wore it as a headband?
Yes, because her neck was too sunburned and she didn't wear it.
Oh, did not know that. But yeah, so that was a very iconic moment of, you know, Diana repurposing an old royal jewel to make something very modern. Unfortunately, after her death, it did return to the royal collection. And surprise, surprise, it's now seen on Kate, who is the new Princess of Wales. And it suits her. Yeah. But like I say, those emeralds have never looked as big as they do that now that they're on Kate. But they're a fantastic piece. And hopefully we'll see it in the future. Her earrings, I found out on Instagram, are an Asprey piece, and they are a new piece, diamond and emerald earrings, made by Asprey, who used to be the crown jeweler. And they reported that these earrings are part of the Princess of Wales's personal collection, so perhaps another birthday present or such.
Ooh, interesting.
Okay. Okay. I like the choker. Like it. I just wish that the dress she wore was a darker shade of green to go with it.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Right? Like, first of all, it's green screen green.
Oh, we've all seen the memes. We've all seen the memes.
So that's my number one issue. But I feel like if you're going to go with multiple shades of any color, you know, maybe try to coordinate it a little bit better. This wasn't my favorite look from Kate. I'm not going to lie. I was not a big fan of this dress.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Although, you know, she didn't rent it. She didn't buy it. She was being, you know, ecological in her fashion sense, you know, choices. So
a question I have for you both is, do you think that she chose the dress before coming to Boston, or was it like renting it, like she just showed up to the shop that morning, I was like, I didn't get a dress, and that's what she chose?
No, that I think, you know, when he was the Prince of Wales, King Charles used to lament that his life was planned for him 18 months in advance. You know, there's no way she's turned up gone, oh, I forgot my frock. Let's go and find one. No, this would have been picked out. And yeah, I mean, I've got my own issues with whoever's doing Kate's wardrobe, especially vis-a-vis the jewels. But no, this would have been planned, you know, very much in advance.
I was really disappointed when I first saw pictures before we found out it was rented, because I know they said for the guests to wear something old, right? Something reworn. And so I had my hopes up for several dresses that she could have worn. And then when she stepped out in this, I was like, really, Kate, you're going to wear that? But then found out it's rented, which is a fun, you know, twist on wearing something old. So
yeah. Didn't points she have for that. A really beautiful dark green dress that she wore. And I believe there was controversy when, I don't quote me on the year, but it was the year that all the actresses were wearing black in support of Me Too. And obviously Kate can't make a political statement.
But she was pregnant back then.
Well, you know, this is
what that was a maternity gown.
Yeah, that's what seamstresses are for, you know, take it in, cut it up, done.
I mean, it's a nice silhouette though.
Yes, it does suit her, but like I agree with you that the color of it is quite off-putting. And then at the same time, like you were saying, like it's a good initiative to kind of show that royals can borrow dresses, and it's a kind of mercy for us that we will not have to see it worn by Kate again.
Yes.
Yes. That's very true.
Yeah. No, I think given like one of the dresses you shared, I think was the green dress that she wore on the Caribbean tour. And that would have worked quite well with the choker and the
jewel. Yeah, about that one.
Was Jenny Peckham as well, I believe.
Yeah. She has several options that she could have gone with. This whole trip, honestly, I know we're talking about, you know, this dress, but this whole Boston trip, it was based on earth shot and being sustainable and, you know, looking out for the future of our environment. And we only got one rewear, and it was that vintage Chanel blazer. So I was a little disappointed in Kate on this trip, I'm not going to lie.
Oh yeah, I think it's definitely something that they really should have kind of thought about in the past. And her outfits over the past, I think, year or so have been kind of out of the theme that they usually are in. So I think her main dresser was on maternity leave, and I'm not sure if she's back yet. So that kind of may be part of the reason why.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I mean, nice silhouette. It fit her well, I think. It kind of seems like there's some stretch in the chest area, but definitely not a fan of the green screen. Although I did see, before we found out it was rented, I did see something interesting on Twitter. Someone was speculating that maybe the dress was made from old bits of like the carpet. which could have been
a carpet fine. That looks like that.
Yeah.
Because that was the color of the carpet. So.
Yeah, the green carpet.
I know.
I don't.
It wasn't, but
if yeah. it was, that would have been really epic. Honestly,
that
would
have liked that more.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately for us. No, I think overall it was good because of the jewels. It looked okay in the black and white photos, but kind of rating it out of 10, I'd probably give it a 3 or 4.
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me.
Not that we ever want to be mean on here, but yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, she looked amazing. The dress itself just wasn't it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, her hair is parted pretty far on the side there, which she doesn't usually do. And I really like it.
I wonder if they traveled with a hairdresser or.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a million and one like tutorials on like Pinterest. It's like, how to get your hair like Kate Middleton. It's like, number one, get a hairdresser. Employ a hairdresser to do your hair in the morning, and then you'll look like Kate.
Yeah. No, it's actually really interesting kind of which world you travel with hairdressers. Next week, we'll have another guest, our friend Jacob, who's Swedish. And he's told me a couple of times that how the Swedish roles don't travel with a hairdresser. And so Queen Sylvia kind of just goes and randomly gets her hair made at different like places where they visit, especially in like Scandinavian countries. And so it's always kind of a surprise, okay, if like how it'll turn out, which if you think about how Queen Sylvia's hair usually is, and it's pretty good and consistent, you wouldn't necessarily notice that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that. You know what? And the Swedes always have amazing tiara hair.
Yes, oh, definitely. I think I've read entire articles about Queen Sylvia's tiara hair.
And she
they always nail it.
No, definitely a few pointers for Kate on that department. But this looked really lovely too.
Yeah.
So overall, what were your thoughts on the diplomatic reception? The first one.
Other than waking up from a nap and suddenly seeing it. I think it was great. I think they both looked lovely, both ladies, and King Charles and William looked very good as well. I appreciate Charles's desire for the jewels. I always appreciate when they bust out the bling.
Oh yeah, definitely. So it did seem like overall quite a kind of nice bejeweled appearance and a nice kind of start to the king's reign in this sense, whereas it was not a banquet, it was more focused on what is an annual glittering event.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I mean, obviously, the more tiaras, the better, in my opinion. But actually, you know, it's the first one of the reign. You know, as much as I'd love them to go in all guns blazing, this is probably actually a more diplomatic way to go in. And I think they all look fantastic. I think the jewels were on point, the dresses were on point, and I love the fact that Charles is more than happy to break out the gemstone buttons.
Yeah, that's lovely for us.
I'd be interested to see, I suppose we're going to have to wait until after the coronation for this, which makes sense, but I'd be really interested to see his family order.
Oh yeah.
Because they're still wearing.
And what color there. That would be, and kind of how we look with everything else. Yeah, no, that's something that I'm really excited for as well.
But I think that's definitely going to have to be an after the coronation thing. But
Oh, definitely. Unless we get a couple of gala events before the coronation, you never know. Last time around, they had a gala performance. And so it may be that they might have one this time as well. And also, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's going to be the state opening of parliament 4 days after the coronation. So we'll have kind of two tiara events to look forward to in the month of May itself.
Yeah, I can't wait, actually. And other sort of Twitter-related gossip is that the St. Edward's crown, which is the crown that is used in the crowning ceremony that we only ever see and the monarch only ever wears during a coronation, has been removed from the Tower of London and is being resized as we speak in a discreet location.
Charles has a big head. Oh, I don't know. I'm just because they're resizing it.
I think with the resizing, like for the queen, the arches were too high for her father and they had to lower them down. So
no, that was the imperial high. State crown. This is St. Edward's crown.
Actually, they've taken out both crowns.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Yes. So on Twitter, it was only announced the St. Edward's crown. But if you look at the royal family's Instagram post, they have both crowns in that.
That'll be interesting.
I missed like until like 2 days later, I was just randomly scrolling through and I was like, wait, they said both crowns.
Yeah. Well, that'll be interesting, especially given our conversations in the past about his desire to have, you know, a more slimmed down monarchy and a modern coronation, that he's, you know, he's taking both the crowns out and he's going, yeah, that'd be interesting.
Because he'll be wearing the other one afterwards for the entire thing.
Yeah.
And that also means he'll wear that for state opening. Because I kind of thought he'd just wear one and then he wouldn't really wear the crown for other events, but it looks like he's going to do them all.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, me's going to be a...
No, we're going to be busy. We're going to be busy.
Yeah.
Wow. No, thank you so much, Ali, for joining us today. It's been just a delight to talk to you.
No, thanks for having me. I was super excited. I've never done a podcast before. I was like...
I know, they're fun, aren't they? They're really cool.
Yeah. It's like a fun conversation with friends and then other people listen to it and then they comment and they have a good time. It's like almost like reliving it all the time.
Yeah. So. If, you know, all of Ali's details, account details will be in the description below. So click on that and remember to follow.
And Ali, just briefly for our listeners, you can just list out where they can find you.
Oh, gosh. You can find me on just about every platform under the Royalty Nerd username, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I have a YouTube that I haven't used in a really, really long time because I find it really hard. And I'm attempting to make a blog on Medium. So,
we'll definitely put all those links in the description.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much, guys. It was so fun.
Thank you so much. And you can stop the recording now.
Can I? Wow. Oh, there we go.